Genesis 9 and 8. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Genesis 9 and 8. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with your living creature that is with you, and of the fowl of the and of the cattle of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with me for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the clouds. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you, and every living creature and all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the covenant, the everlasting, everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all the flesh that is upon the earth. Our Lord, tonight, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your presence. We're so grateful to be able to fellowship with our guests and our visitors that are among us tonight. Oh, God, we ask that you would touch them, that you would bless them, oh, God, and meet their need, meet all of our needs as we stand in your presence tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I'd like to mention this as you pray tonight, that Brother Keller is not here because he is having a back problem. I realize when he was not playing, and then also that Linda Davis is sick with the flu, and we want to remember her in prayer tonight when you retire. Amen. I'd like to title this message tonight, Clearing Back the Jungle. Clearing Back the Jungle. Kipling's classic that he had entitled Letting the Jungle In is a story of a group of people who went into the jungle and they cleared a place to live. They brought their stock in. They cultivated it. They grew grain and food. And they planted their crops and they built their homes. And for a while, it was like living in a paradise. It was so nice. It was so beautiful. They appreciated so much what they had accomplished because the jungle, there was nothing but death, and there was nothing but wildlife. And now then they had cleared it back, and they have their stock, and they have their cattle, and they have their food that they were able to raise, and on the cultivated ground that they had developed. They felt so good, but unfortunately the rains began, and their paradise didn't last too long. Their paradise soon changed. Because when the rains came, the jungles would begin to creep back where it once was. And that which was a paradise went back to a jungle. I imagine our forefathers, when they came here to America, they felt much the same way. It was a constant battle. It was starvation. It was the lack of food, the lack of supplies. The lack of medication. Many of them died because of sickness. Indians. There was all kinds of hostility. And I imagine they thought that as soon as they got the jungle pressed back and they rested and relaxed, it came back in on them again. And I'd like to say that anywhere in life there is a certain jungle that presses in on us constantly. And even though you may drive it back and you may accomplish certain things in life, if you do not continue to accomplish and continue to work and continue to strive and attempt to succeed, eventually that jungle will creep back on you again. Of course, Kipling was not talking about a natural jungle. Neither was he talking about people as far as development in society. But he was talking about the nature of man. The nature of man. And I don't know about you, but as I look at myself, I'm not too pleased with the nature that I carry around. Yes, it's been born again, and thank God for that new birth experience. It is a heavenly experience. When I think about it, my soul rejoices. But when I forget about it, the jungle begins to creep back in. And I don't like that jungle. And neither do you. And neither do you. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. When God created man, He placed him in a garden, a beautiful garden, a garden that he should have been satisfied with, he should have been pleased with. But rather than that, man introduced rebellion and sin and disobedience. And because of the things that our forefathers, Adam and Eve, introduced into our family tree, we, by nature, have a jungle that I don't like. But it's nevertheless, it's there. Right. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you never get rid of it. And you never get rid of it. And you never get rid of it. Oh, hallelujah. What do you mean, preacher, you never get rid of it? Well, the Bible says in Genesis 6, 5 and 6, amen. When Jesus looked at man, He said, and He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. You see, the Scripture very plainly teaches us, amen, in Psalms 20 and 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Centuries have passed. And the human race comes and goes. Born and dies. Lives and enjoys life. But despite it all, they only rise so high in society. And they never get any higher. I'm thankful I'm in the church tonight because it gives me a hope of a rapture. Hallelujah! And it's the Holy Ghost within us that's going to get us out of this old world.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah! It's certainly not that jungle that's fighting at me. Oh, hallelujah! Praise God! For in Psalms 5:53 and 3, there is nothing good, no, not one. Amen. There's something in your character, and there's something in my character. It constantly flares up by nature because I've been born that way. That's going to cause that jungle to come back. Yes. Now, I'm not one to disappoint you and discourage you. And to start a message all quiet like this, you might get yourself in a neutral attitude. But just stay with me a little while. I'm trying to establish my thought. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to know that we have hope tonight. I say we have hope tonight. I say we have hope tonight. Hallelujah. And it's not in ourselves. It's not in that jungle. Hallelujah. Amen. I was conceived in sin. And that little beautiful baby that we just dedicated to the Lord, though its parents loved God and have been born into the family of God by the new birth
of repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. There is a nature about that beautiful little angel that they held in their hand that allowed the jungle to take it over. If that child goes untrained, undisciplined, I'm not worried about that, but it's true with all of us.
Right.
But I have a new earth experience. Hallelujah! And controlling that jungle. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Yes? Amen. Brother, Sister Price, you have a responsibility. But praise God, through the grace of God, you're going to accomplish the things that God has given you to do. Isn't God great? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Makes me to think of the story that the judge looked down from his bench at a fella. And eyed him, and he said, I understand that your landlord has accused you of setting the bed on fire. And he said, it's a lie, Judge, it's a lie. I didn't set the bed on fire. It was on fire when I got into it. I don't know what the judge thought about that. That wouldn't be according to nature. But when we stepped on this old planet Earth that's spinning around millions of miles an hour, we stepped in a hotbed, and we stepped right in the middle of a jungle. But oh, thank God, I'm thankful that jungle can be cleared back. Amen. There's something within us that keeps us from ever achieving all of our dreams, and that's good. Because if we did, we'd probably sit down and let them all deteriorate and go to utter oblivion. Did you ever stop to think of that? You know, you talk to folks and they'll say, I've never accomplished everything in life I've wanted to accomplish. And if you did, if you, let's just say you obtained everything in life you wanted to obtain, you would probably be so contented with your achievements in life that you would sit down and never really take care of it. And you would lose a goal. Fact is, it's a proven fact. As I've taken statistics over the ministers that invariably take a church and they take it and they decide that the church is going to build. And so they build a new church. And they go out and build a beautiful new church, and as soon as that preacher gets that church built, you know what he wants to do? He wants to retire the church and go someplace else because he feels like he has accomplished his mission. 99% of the preachers are plagued with that temptation. And if you would think in your mind, I'm sure you could think of some various preachers that fall in that same category. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And if you are satisfied with what you accomplish, your dreams will never raise you any higher than what you are. We've got to acknowledge that the jungle's around us. We don't like it. We don't want to contend with it. We want to rise above it. And when we do that, there'll begin to develop in our nature some changes that God wants us to have. And I want to talk about them tonight by the help of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 How do we deal with this jungle? That jungle that would actually strangle us if we give it half an opportunity. How can we really live victorious? These are the questions that we invariably ask ourselves. Amen. Let me tell you what we can first begin with. And I would like for you to follow me very closely. I'd like for you to realize some things and maybe even jot them down on a piece of paper. Hopefully you have your Bible and you can follow us as we read the Bible. Amen. We can begin with, for number one, amen, realize that God created us for paradise. You are a created product for the purpose of paradise. He didn't want you to live in that jungle. He didn't like the jungle either. He came to it that didn't succumb him. He rose from the dead and he said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And so he succumbed over the jungle. And what he's saying to you and I want you, my children, the created in my image. I want you in my paradise. And it's so easy when we look at our defeats and our failures in life, and we look at our humanity and our inabilities, we will begin to become depressed and discouraged and doubtful whether we will ever be able to enjoy that paradise that He created us for. But let me remind you again, we are created for the purpose of paradise. We're not created for hell. God never created hell for anybody. It was created for the devil and his angels. And anybody else that goes there, that's their problem. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you're serving a loving God? A loving God? Let's raise our hands and love Him. Let's just raise our hands and praise Him. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first thing we need to do is to begin with the fact that we were created for paradise. Amen. And have you ever seen these t-shirts that they've got out lately? Amen. I must be somebody. I must be somebody because God don't make no junk. I must be somebody because God didn't create no junk. Oh, yes, sir. He wants you for paradise. He created you for paradise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were created, first of all, for fellowship. He created us for fellowship with Him. Everybody say, fellowship.
Fellowship.
I say it again.
Fellowship.
Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful word? How many of you like fellowship? Let's see your hands. Oh, how important it is. How rewarding it is. How strengthening it is. How encouraging it is to have fellowship one with another. And the Bible says that we were created for fellowship. Amen. And it also tells us that we were created to enjoy His handiworks. Everything that God created, He created for the purpose of making it enjoyable to us, His creation. One of the beautiful mountains that you go west to see, or maybe it's down to the Smoky Mountains, and you take a special vacation to go view them. He made those for the purpose of your enjoyment and mine. Everything that was created so that He can please us. Some folks have got the idea that God is standing over people with a ball bat ready to hit them in the head if they just accidentally take the wrong step with the wrong foot. My God's not that kind of a God, honey. He loves us. I said, He loves us, and He created us for fellowship. And He created all of the things of His creation for the purpose of entertaining us. When I sit back and I watch the clouds go by, I look at the heavenly work of God, and I realize it's the greatness of God. When I see the stars twinkle at night and watch the sun come up in the morning and go down in the evening, and the moon at night, it makes me to know how great my God is. Hallelujah. The sun keeps me warm. And it's just the right degree and the right area whereby it won't burn us up. I'm so thankful for the things that God has given us to enjoy. Hallelujah. So we're created for His fellowship and to enjoy His handiwork. And we're created for redemption. Everybody say redemption.
Redemption.
Hallelujah. We're prone to magnify our fears and our worry and become full of self-pity. Amen. But I'd like to say that living for Christ is not dull. The Bible says, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. Do you remember when you first came to Christ? You remember how you felt? For a brief period of time, your timid fears began to subside. And everybody you saw was a potential Christian. And you begin to want to talk to them and testify to them. And, oh, you felt so elated with the joy. And suddenly that sorrow was turned to joy and that trouble to peace. And you wanted to tell somebody about that.
What is it that happens to us when that begins to drift away? What happens? What is it? That brief moment, it only just lasts for a moment. Why is it? It's because that jungle is creeping back. That jungle is creeping back. That jungle is creeping back. Oh, hallelujah. I don't like the jungle, do you? I don't like the jungle. I like to still have that praise on my heart, that joy in my soul, that kind of bounce in my step, that faith in my heart. There's nothing going to get me down. There's nothing going to destroy me. Amen. I don't care how much the devil dislikes me. I'm going to make it by faith in Jesus' name. I like to have that feeling, don't you? And when we lose it, it's because the jungle has crept back in. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the key to the abundant living? Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's say it again.
Jesus.
Let's say it again.
Jesus.
No wonder Paul said, in Him I live and I move and I have my very being. Paul was shipwrecked, beaten, scourged, imprisoned. Oh, he was beaten with staffs, with rods, hunger. Nothing bothered him. In him. I'm doing it, folks, in Jesus. That's what Paul would say. I don't have the victory down here in this prison. I'm not singing because of myself. The jungle hasn't crept back in yet. And because the jungle hasn't crept back in, I can still sing. And my feet can still rise till I can touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. I'm not going to let the jungle get me. They might shipwreck me and they might beat me and they might put me in prison, but I'm not going to let the jungle take me over. Hallelujah. You can whip me all you want to, but I refuse to let the jungle get me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think of Luke 15th chapter in the 10th verse. I believe it's God's will that we be joyful. Everybody say joyful. I look at some Christians and you look at their face and they look like they had just left the devil. And the devil got through, running them through a meat grinder. And their conversation was with the devil's brother or aunt or uncle or somebody. I think with joy you draw water from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Luke 15 and 10, this is joy. There is joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repented. If there's joy at the time you find God at an altar, there's always going to be joy. Always there's going to be joy. If you don't find it after you left the altar, the jungle has crept in. The reason I say that is if you turn with me to John, the 15th chapter and the 11th verse, these things have I spoken unto you, Jesus speaking, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And if you'll notice, the next things he talked about was the new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Maybe this is the reason the jungle has crept back into some folks' lives. I don't want all of you shout.
Come on.
I'm just telling you what Jesus said, how he presented it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And then John 16:19. A little while, you shall not see me. Some folks says, well, I got the joy when I got the Holy Ghost. But you know, that was when I got the Holy Ghost. And notice what he said. He was talking about his departure just before he went away. And he said, a little while, you shall not see me, in John 16:19. And, amen, ye shall weep and you shall lament. And the world shall even rejoice because I'm gone. But your sorrow shall be turned to joy.
You got joy tonight, honey. All you got to do is latch on to it.
Yes.
All you got to do is drive the jungle back.
Amen.
If you get the jungle to roll back far enough, you'll find the joy.
Uh-huh.
It's there. You got to get the jungle back far enough to find the joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then if you go to verse 22, and he said, and your joy, no man. Oh, I like that. Verse 22, he said, and your joy, no man can take it from you. Told you in Sunday school class this morning that nobody can make you backslide.
Amen.
That's a bunch of baloney, my friend. You want to. That's the reason you backslide.
Right.
Don't tell me you backslid because of somebody in the church. You backslid because you let the jungle grow up.
That's right.
It took you over.
Come on.
Now, you just stick around with me on this message and I'll prove that to you. Hallelujah. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand that's ever come to me. But I want to tell you one thing. The Lord God Almighty can help me keep that jungle driven back.
Yes.
If I wanted to.
Come
Hallelujah.
On.
Praise God. Praise God. It's God's will for us to have joy. Now, why is it that whenever we talk about the will of God, it's always in relationship to some catastrophe that happens to us? I don't know why that is, but have you ever noticed that? I don't know why, but it happens. It just seems like you never hear of some people talk about the will of God until they're down flat on their back and they're sick and they're going to go to the hospital and have an operation, or they lost Aunt Susie or Aunt Mary or our Aunt Cousin or whatever, so what have you, you know. And then they got a catastrophe in the family. And then, oh, I want the will of God in my life. I want the will of God in my life. Why in the world can't we ask for the will of God all the time?
Right. Amen.
It was beautiful tonight in this dedication service. They were asking for the will of God in that little child's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. Now, their obligation is to keep that same will in her life, all of her life. Man, they've got the responsibility. We just started it.
Right.
Just like you come to the altar and you find the Lord through repentance, you get the Holy Ghost and you get baptized. What have you done? You start driving back the jungle. But then you've got the responsibility to keep it driven back. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. So, some folks always think about the will of God after they have had a catastrophe. I think we need to learn how to ask for the will of God at work. At relaxation,
amen.
In joy,
yes, amen.
In sorrow,
huh?
We ought to ask for the will of God many times in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. In our youth, come on, stay with me. In our old age,
uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. In good times, amen.
Yes.
And in bad times.
Amen.
Amen. When you ask for the will of God, you won't have to be always searching for it when you ask for the will of God all the time. It'll come to you. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. You just step, God's going to direct your steps. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's go a little bit further with this thought. And let's see something else in it. Since it's God's will for us to live in paradise, and it's God's will for us to have joy, amen, how do we really find this? All right, first of all, we have to look at His death and His covenant. His death and His covenant. The first step is to say, Lord, I know that You want me in paradise, and I know You want me to have joy. That's the first thing. But the second thing over here, I need to understand the covenant that You've made. And that's what I read about when I took you back to Genesis, reading about Noah. Amen. Which is actually obedience to the gospel that He gives us. And obedience brings us into that relationship and that covenant that He makes with us. As I said a while ago when dedicating Beth's baby, I want to say this again tonight, that holiness, we reach it only through wholesomeness. Now, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but I want to touch on it.
So many folks have tried their best to find various ways to express holiness, and there's nothing wrong with that in itself. You need to always constantly endeavor to do that. But that within itself is not holiness. Holiness is wholesomeness. How you live, how you think, how you talk, how you conduct yourself, the attitudes you carry and display. It's something that created within you from down here. So we need to be wholesome. And in order for us to be wholesome, we got to first of all realize that He has created us for paradise. He wants us to have joy. And then we need to understand His covenant so we can become wholesome. Yes, covenants of God makes us pure. They made a covenant down here tonight. Their covenant was with God. We want to dedicate her. Now, God, you see us. You hear us. You listen to us. We're telling you what we want. And we're expecting you to do it, and we believe you're going to do it. Now it's our responsibility to do it. So now we've made a covenant. It's an agreement between you and us. And that's what the Lord was saying to Noah. Noah, I'm making a covenant with you. I've destroyed the water by flood. And it's grieved me to destroy my creation this way. But because of their sin, I had to judge it. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to go that way anymore. I'm even going to set a bow in the clouds for the purpose of identifying to you and a reminder to both of us. Because whenever a covenant was made, it took two to make it. And whenever you make a covenant, you can't make it by yourself, honey. Let me tell you something. When you go buy and purchase that automobile or that home, you sign your name on the dotted line. You're telling that banker that you are responsible for what you have just purchased. And that banker saying, I'm responsible for coming and getting it, honey, if you don't pay for it, too. Whew. You see, there's a covenant made. Hallelujah. And if we can understand the covenants of God, it gives us more confidence. If we do our part, He's going to do His. If we stand true, He's always true. If we don't fail, He'll never fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know a God like it. Oh, that does something to me. That makes me want to dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To know that He's that kind of a God. Our trouble is we don't want to keep our covenant. He'll take care of His. Oh, hallelujah. He'll heal us when we're sick. Hallelujah. He'll help us when we're in trouble. He'll supply our needs when we're in need of finances. I say He'll help us. But you see, we've got to keep our end of the bargain. There's where the secret's at. Woo, hallelujah. Now, talking about covenant, which is an agreement among two, I'd like for us to go to Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the 17th and 18th verses, if you'd read for us. Hallelujah. Did I skip a scripture already? Oh, don't make a difference. We're long anyway. Let's read. I feel like preaching tonight. Oh, hallelujah.
Wherein, God willing, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise.
Oh, God's more abundantly. In other words, He desires more than we can imagine to show to the heirs. And you are an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And He is more abundantly. I desire, above all things, to show you what I've really got in store for you. No wonder He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I shall come again. Amen. To receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Eye hath not seen, ear nor hath not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has went to prepare for His people. I want you to know He more abundantly wants to show us His riches.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Whew. Read.
To show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His...
The immutability.
Right. Of
the
His
heirs,
counsel.
Heirs of promise. Now listen to the heirs of promise. You are an heir of promise. That means our pappy said, you young'uns, I got something for you. And I'm going to give it to you.
Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, and He wants to give it to us.
Yes.
Amen. We
confirmed it by an oath.
Oh, now I'm going to confirm it to you. I so much desire to show you my covenant that I made with you. And I'm going to give it to you now by an oath or an agreement between me and you. Read.
That by two immutable things...
By two immutable. That means things that cannot change. Things that cannot be altered. Nothing can affect it. What is. Hallelujah. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. And when it's forever settled, nothing can change it. Read.
In which it was impossible for God to lie.
It's impossible for me to lie to you, folks.
Praise
I love you. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to lie to you. Hallelujah. That's what God was saying. And it's impossible for me to lie to you. I'm giving you that promise, that immutable promise. Hallelujah. And that promise that cannot be changed. It cannot be destroyed, altered. The devils in hell might try to affect it. Her circumstances might affect it. And your life might try to affect it. Your feelings and your attitude might affect it. But you got to draw back and fight hard against it. The jungle!
Amen. Praise the Lord!
Woo! I don't like that jungle. I hate it.
Come on.
Woo! Read.
We might have a strong consolation.
A strong consolation. That means, man, you hear back your shoulders and you squirm away and you stand straight and erect. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not your size, my friend. It's not your anatomy. It's not your physical condition. Amen. But it's your mental attitude about believing what God has said He'll do. Woo! Hallelujah. Read.
Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
We have fled for refuge. Now I want you to know that refuge of that city that was the city of refuge. They ran for all their life when their adversary was after them.
Amen.
They ran for everything within them. I mean, they might have got weary, but they ran as though the doe did not consider its hunter was pursuing it. They ran with all of their might until they got in behind those doors. Let me tell you something. If you've never come out of the wilderness, friend, you better run with all your might to get into that door. Hallelujah. And if you have run, you better keep the door closed. Because if you don't keep the door closed, the jungle's going to come in.
Yes.
Free. Oh, hallelujah. Is that all?
That's it.
All right. It'd be good anyhow. Let's worship the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh,
hallelujah.
Praise God. So this covenant is an agreement. Amen. And so I set my bow in the sky to be seen by everyone. Everybody can see it. Every time it rains, it's a reminder to you that I'm not going to destroy the earth again. By water. Amen. And I want it to be there so that their eye might be affected and their heart might be affected by what their eye sees. There's some things that God allows us to see, and He wants us to see them because it's to affect our heart. You've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. When Jesus said, "Look on the harvest fields, for they're white and the harvest already." He was saying, I want you to see what I'm seeing. I want you to feel the burden that I'm feeling. And if you'll see it, it'll affect your heart. A lot of people look on the fields, but they don't see the fields. They don't really see it. Not as Jesus wants them to. It was there not because the eternal mind of God needed a memento. He didn't need a memorandum. When He established it, He will remember it. He's not like me. I got to have notes over there. And the older I get, the more I need. Some folks tie strings around their fingers. I forget what the strings there for. Some folks use different colors. I'd forget what the colors were for. You know? But my God's not like that. Yeah, He says that He'll remember it. He'll put it down in His catalog of His computer. That computer, it'll just work. Whenever He sees rain, that computer goes to work. He doesn't need to be reminded, but it was for us. It was for our benefit. It was for our sakes. Amen. The eternal mind didn't need it. So the rainbows appears, if you'll notice, when the clouds are full of water and after the rain. And that's usually when we're the most discouraged. Is when the clouds are full of water and after the rain. God's got a way of reminding us. Aren't you glad for the goodness of God to the children of men? Oh, He's so great to us. Let's just love Him. This is Thanksgiving. Let this service really be a service of gratitude that the jungle has been driven back and we have the victory over the jungle. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'd like to say that the rainbow is a reflection of the sunbeams. Let me say that again. You don't see the sun a lot of times shining in that particular area, but all of a sudden you look up. And I remember when we were going through the Rocky Mountains a few years ago, and I got some of the most beautiful pictures of a rainbow right after the rain. In fact, it was during the rain at one point. Beautiful. I mean, we didn't see the sun, but up there somewhere, beyond the clouds and beyond the water and the rain and the discouragement, there was a sun shining. And those beams was flooding its way through. And it was making a rainbow over and above all those clouds. What for? I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forgotten that covenant. Don't you forget it. I still love you. I still love you. I still love you. Aren't you glad you're serving that kind of a God? Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Read Revelations 4 and 3. Read.
And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like an emerald.
John the Revelator was introduced to the things in the future and the things that were and are to come. And he saw him. He saw him in the midst of the candlesticks as the mighty one who had the stars or the pastors in his hands. Hallelujah. And again, he saw him. And he saw him at this time as jasper. He saw him as beautiful, beautiful stones that was glittering and shining all around him. And along with that, he saw the ray of light issuing out from the temple and from the place where our Lord was established, all to go down to shine a rainbow on His people to remind them, my covenant was established with you and I haven't forgotten it. Read Revelations 10 and 1.
And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven.
Woo! I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven.
Yes. Clothed with a cloud.
Clothed what?
With a cloud.
With a cloud. Did you get that? All right, in the midst of that cloud that's raining on you, there's an angel. Read.
And Woo! A rainbow was upon his head.
And a rainbow was upon his head. Did you ever stop to realize behind that cloud there's an angel watching you? Oh, praise God. And the Bible teaches me that the angels hover over His children. And you have angels, guardian angels, that watch you daily and nightly. Let's love Him.
Hallelujah.
Let's love Him. Oh, we got a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Now this rainbow, if you'll notice, it's a fiery colors. And those fiery colors are to remind man and God of His next judgment. His next judgment's going to be the judgment of fire. Amen. Man may get so sinful that the jungle may take the world over to become another Sodom and Gomorrah. And even if it does, my God said, I'll still not destroy it by water. But my next judgment upon my creation is going to be with fire and brimstone. And so I'm going to remind you in that cloud, in that covenant, it's not rain that you're seeing that's going to destroy you, but it's going to be the judgments of fire and the judgments of brimstone. The red, whoo, hallelujah, and the crimson and the green. Oh, some of those rainbows are so beautiful. And I want to remind you, the next judgment's different. When you can see the program of God and how He has it so designed, let me tell you, you would not become disheartened. You'd just become grateful to His divine mercies and His love. Let's love Him some more. I feel a sense of worship here tonight. There are things that have happened to me which I cannot explain. Things that have been very hurtful. Things that I can't always say that it was the Lord that allowed it to happen. Yet I do know what the Scripture teaches. But it's so hard for me at times when some of the hurtful, bitter, tragic things happen in my life. It's so hard for me to correlate the Scripture properly where it says all things work together to good of them that love the Lord and called according to His purpose. And there's been times in your life you felt the same way. I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. If you haven't, hang around a while, honey. It's coming around the next corner. Amen. Amen. Consider with me a few things about an analogy of a ship. I like ships. I really do. But there are things on a ship that would be of no value at all if they were taken off and separated. The motor of a ship, if it was thrown in the water, would go straight down. The propeller of a ship, if you'd throw it off the boat, it'd go straight down. But you put that motor in the right place and the propeller in the right place and you get the stern and the helm and all of that, you get it all proportioned as it should be. That boat is on a destiny. It's on a journey. But it takes all of those things compounded together in their proper perspective places before it becomes a valuable boat that's on a mission. And I'm so glad that I'm in the Church of Zion.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Because it's on a destination. You probably notice in my office I have boats and I like boats. I have a lot of things to do with ships and sailors and all of that. And I like to look at a boat and just sit there and admire it. As I see the front of that boat coming up against all kinds of waves, it's dashing against it, and you can see the waters breaking back. It's just telling me, it's just like, God, I'm going to help press this battle to the end. And there's nothing going to stop me. Hallelujah. Nothing. The currents of life. Disappointments. Sorrow. Nothing. It's going to stop it. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the ship of Zion tonight. Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's love the Lord. He's good to us. Let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. God never forsakes us. He has never forgotten us. Amen. Regardless of how sinful this world becomes, it might become a Sodom and Gomorrah, but let it come become a Sodom and Gomorrah. He's made a covenant with the church that made a covenant with Him. I'm going to take you through. Yes. Don't get your eyes on the jungle. Realize that you're out of the jungle and you're really in a paradise, only you don't know it. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I can't level the mountains of injustice that's come my way, and you can't either. And neither can I reach down into the valleys of imperfection in my life and raise them up. But I have learned one thing if I just turn it over to Jesus.
Yes.
That's the covenant. When you look at the covenant, He's going to take care of it. It's in His hands. It's in His hands. He's going to take care of it. Why worry about it? He's promised us He's going to fulfill it. Woo! Now we get down to the third step. Praise God. The third step. Amen. And it's Golgotha. There's been times in my life that those mountains of injustice has come my way. And I've found it so beneficial. I like Easter time. I'm so glad it comes along because it constantly causes me to go back and reread the wonderful story of Golgotha, starting out with Gethsemane. Even when I was there, I couldn't help but stand and cry each time I was there when I looked at that hill called Calvary. When I realized my Lord died there, and He really died there that the jungle wouldn't take me over. He really died there so the jungle wouldn't take me over. And I got so much to thank Him for. Being saved from sin is one thing, but being grateful for the fact that you've been brought out of the jungle, and that whenever you feel it creeping back on you, that cross at Golgotha is still there to help you drive back the jungle.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. I feel something, folks. Just let yourself worship God. Let yourself love the Lord. Amen. We're like lumps of clay. We're brittle at times. We're pliable at times. We are uncontrollable at times. We're controllable at times. And he's the master potter. He's the one that wants to get real close to us and begin to mold us. Let's look again just for a few moments. I may have mentioned it a while ago. I would like to mention it again. When Jesus called the disciples, those crude, rough fishermen, they knew how to cuss. They knew how to catch fish. They knew how to fight fuss. He called the tax collectors. They knew how to get the money. He called the doctor. And you could go on and on. And if you was to look at them, you could see their crudeness and their roughness. You could see the jungle in every one of them, especially Apostle Peter, when he was so quick and prone to rebuke the Lord many times and say, "Be it far from you, Lord. Don't wash me. Don't wash me." When Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you'll have no part and lot with me," He said, "Just give me a bath." But He took those crude fishermen that had so much of the jungle in them, and He began to tenderly, lovingly begin to mold them and make them that master potter. Oh, when I think of the hands of Jesus in your life and mine, I marvel at His ability to develop us and cultivate us. That old hard-hearted attitude that they had began to change. There was some love began to emanate from them. That conniving, deceiving, tried to figure out a way to cut the other guy's throat before he cuts mine, it began to vanish away. That feeling of, "I'll scratch my back if your back if you'll scratch mine," that began to just ebb away from them. They didn't realize it. But finally it came time for Jesus to leave them. And when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what does the Scripture say? Oh, hallelujah. These men have been with Jesus. How could they say that? They've seen their lives changed. I'm so thankful that we have a changed life because we have the power to drive back the jungle. Woo! No matter how strong it is to try to come back, It'll try to come back with one wave after another, one after another. But there he is on Calvary. Hallelujah. Died for our sins. His blood is still dripping. It's still alive today. Hallelujah. When they emptied that tomb, they said he is not here. Hallelujah. He is risen. Now, hallelujah. You don't have to worry about the jungle anymore. It's going to be gone. Just trust in him. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you have that same victory. When Jesus turned to the Apostle Peter, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. I give you the keys of the kingdom. He was saying, I'm giving you the same authority that I come down and get for myself. The jungle has no place in your life. Shall we stand?
Let's love him. Amen. Jesus is our source of power. Jesus is our source of power. And we may have to go back to Calvary quite often. And there's nothing wrong with Calvary, friend. I get amazed at people that don't want to go to the altar and pray. I see them get weaker and weaker, more discontented with their spiritual walk, and they don't really realize what's happening. But you see, it's been raining too much, and the jungle's creeping. Over here, over here, over here, over here. What's it trying to do? It's trying to choke out that beautiful garden that God set you in. Let me say tonight, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy heavenly things.
Right.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Somebody needs to worship God. Somebody needs to worship God. Somebody needs to worship God. Somebody needs to believe His covenant, to look to Calvary. Somebody needs to look at Golgotha. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to realize you were developed for paradise, not the jungle. There are more apostolics believe once in grace, always in grace than you would dare to imagine.
Depending on you, I'm depending on you. Nobody else could ever love me like you do. I'm depending on you, I'm depending on you. Depending on your love to see me through. I'm depending on you, I'm depending. I'm depending on you.
Anyone need prayer? If they do, come forward. We'd like to pray for you at this time. Anybody need prayer? Anybody needs prayer? We'd like to pray for you at this time.
Everything will be all right. gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. After the stars have passed the summer, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right.
To be in the presence of the Lord. So great to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Since some of our children are not going to be coming in from Oklahoma City for our Thanksgiving, my wife and I will probably be leaving Monday right after I have PE class and we have our dinner with the young people. And we're probably going to Southern Indiana. And Brother Marshall will be taking care of the prayer meeting Wednesday night. But I'm going to ask you to do something this Thanksgiving. I've never asked before. But I'm going to ask you to when you have your Thanksgiving dinner, to sit down and read a chapter on Thanksgiving to God. Choose you, look in your concordance on a scripture that has a lot of praise in it and thanksgiving. Sit down and read it to your family. And if you have more than one Bible, sit down and all of you read it together about praising God. We Americans need to take a little more sense of appreciation about the things that we have.